Hey there, Legal Tea listeners. This is your host, Jenny Roselle. We are back to the celebrity estate planning topic, and for today's episode, we are going to dive into what happened following the death of Joe Robbie. Now, if you don't recognize the name, that's okay. I honestly consider myself a pretty big sports fan, and I didn't really recognize his name. Well, he is most known and most affiliated with the NFL team, the Miami Dolphins. He was actually the original owner, the founder of the Miami Dolphins team. Well, when he died, things sure got wild. So as we always do on this type of episode, let's dive into him as a person first before we dive into what happened following his death estate-wise. Hailing from South Dakota, Joe Robbie was born in 1916, according to Wikipedia. After finishing high school, he ended up heading to the University of South Dakota, where he met his eventual wife, Elizabeth. When Pearl Harbor happened in 1941, Joe enlisted in the Navy the day after. He was awarded a Bronze Star for his service during World War II. Once he was discharged, Joe went to the University of South Dakota for law school, where he ended up graduating with a law degree. At the age of 33, Joe started his political career in 1948. He was elected to the South Dakota House of Representatives and even attempted to become the governor, but he lost. Shortly after that, his legal and political career brought him to the state of Minnesota, and all of this according to his Wikipedia page. It was in Minnesota that he really started in the sports space, the sports arena, and specifically, he took an interest in professional football and ended up becoming a season ticket holder for the Minnesota Vikings. In early 1965, Joe and the then commissioner of the American Football League, Joe Foss, met, and Joe Foss encouraged Joe Robbie to consider starting a football franchise out of Miami, Florida. The Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins ended up playing their games beginning in the Orange Bowl in Miami until 1987 when the stadium was built and opened up. Today, the team stadium is called the Hard Rock Stadium, though in 1987 when it opened, it was called the Joe Robbie Stadium. It was called the Joe Robbie Stadium until 1996. And kind of an interesting little fun fact, the stadium, according to Wikipedia, was one of the very first stadiums that in the design stage considered ease to convert the field to be used for other sports like soccer and baseball. Well, not long after the stadium opened, which again was in 1987, there were some rumors that Joe was not doing very well. And then all of a sudden, reports that he had passed away. He died on January 7th, 1990 at the age of 73. Before we talk about what happened estate-wise, I want to quickly note his family tree set up. So Joe and Elizabeth got married shortly after meeting while at the University of South Dakota. And together they had 11 children. But two of the children passed away prior to Joe's death, which left 9 surviving children when Joe died. Now, Elizabeth also was still living when Joe passed away, but she wasn't around too much longer. I think she died it was about 2 years late. I think it was in 1991. Don't quote me on those years, but very shortly after, like maybe a year or two. All while the family was still in the middle of the estate saga related to Joe's death. So that seems like a nice transition point for this episode to shift to Joe's estate now. To really get into what happened following Joe's death, we have to rewind a little bit before his passing and talk about his son, Michael, who for some period of time served as the Dolphins' general manager, honestly, much to the disliking of many around the organization. He had some pretty significant, serious personal issues going on. So when Joe went to take out the loan to build the stadium, the bank actually made a provision within the loan agreement that Michael could not be in charge as a trustee of Joe's estate when Joe passed away. So Joe agreed and ended up putting three of his nine children as trustees. That was Tim, Janet, and Dan. Ultimately, Michael, according to Sports Illustrated, was demoted to operations. And oh, keep in mind through all of this that Elizabeth, Joe's wife, was still living at this point. And she was named as like vice president. She was kind of more of like in an advisory role. According to Sports Illustrated, Janet said, which is one of the daughters, Janet said, quote, "When Dad died, things fell apart. There were problems immediately. I mean, immediately," end quote. Supposedly, Elizabeth was, quote, furious at Michael's demotion and at the fact that just three of her children were being given all the power. She stayed furious. When she died, she essentially cut Tim, Janet, and Dan out of her will, end quote. Now, Janet further shared that Michael sent an organization-wide memo saying that he would make all decisions. And Janet said, quote, "I don't think Michael ever knew it was part of the stadium deal, that he could not be a trustee," end quote. And she further shared that her dad's intentions were really good, but he just didn't really communicate before he passed away what his plan said and what his goal was and really what, you know, was going to happen. And that's a serious bummer, because what preceded was a massive family fight, not only between the kids, but also his wife and mother of the kids, Elizabeth. Essentially, on Joe's deathbed, Joe made an 11th hour deal, and he told his daughter Janet that he needed 5 years and he'd straighten out his finances. Well, when things went from bad to worse with his health, Joe, according to Sports Illustrated, negotiated to sell 50% of the stadium and 15% of the Dolphins to waste management mogul Wayne, I'm going to butcher his last name, Huizenga, and we're just going to call him Wayne from here on out. Well, fast forward, Joe, before he passed away, negotiated to sell 50% of the stadium and 15% of the Dolphins to Wayne. So fast forward some time to 1994, Tim, Janet, and Dan, as trustees, were navigating how to pay estate taxes after Joe passed away and how to, you know, not only pay estate taxes but keep the team too, when ultimately they decided to sell the remaining of the Dolphins team and stadium to Wayne. All of the articles I read in my research basically said that it was due to poor planning on Joe's part, because most of his estate worth or his estate value was tied up in the team, the Dolphins, and the stadium. So when Tim, Janet, and Dan as trustees had to figure out how to pay estate taxes due to, you know, their dad's death, their hands were sort of tied. And as the Sports Illustrated article says, they sold Joe's baby. That sale yielded around $109 million, but because of the pickle that they were in, approximately 40-something million went to estate taxes. And I say 40-something million because there's some reports it was 43 million, other reports said 47 million. At that time too, according to Sports Illustrated, that is when the children did start receiving some of their inheritances. And at that time they did receive $3 million in waive an inheritance, which, you know, more, of course, would come as they continued to navigate the whole estate. They say timing is everything, right? Well, would you believe it if I told you 15 years after they sold the Dolphins as well as the stadium, Wayne ended up selling 95% of the Dolphins team and the stadium to a gentleman named Stephen Ross, who is a real estate developer in New York. This transaction occurred in 2009, so just, you know, some years later, right? Guess what it sold for? $1 billion. B, billion with a B. And since then, too, the value has only continued to dramatically increase. The Sports Illustrated article that this information is from was written in 2015. And it said at that time that package would have been worth about $1.85 billion, which was, quote, more than 17 times what Robbie's children got for it. So can you even imagine the value today in 2024, nearly 10 years after the value of $1.85 billion? Anyway, so what transpired, generally speaking, after Joe's death was really unfortunate, right? Family fighting amongst all the family, the kids, the mom, estate tax issues, hurt feelings, broken relationships, probably a lot of legal fees. Should I keep going? In the Sports Illustrated article, it mentions something like, and I'm just going to read this verbatim. It says, Joe's kids have been fighting for longer than any of them ever lived in the same house. The youngest, Kevin, died in 2011. Some of the others have barely spoken to each other since their father's team was sold. They don't always know where their brothers and sisters live or what they're doing. And at this point, all they share is a scar, end quote. And that, wow, right? You know, they all got a chunk of change, sure, and a scar. According to a trust council blog, Joe died with an estate plan, but probably could have benefited from, you know, significantly more estate planning than what he had. Supposedly, he died with a pour-over will and a revocable living trust, which we've talked a lot about on this podcast. And his plan was set up to basically have his assets held in trust after he died, and then the trust assets with the income from the trust assets would go to his wife, Elizabeth, for her life, and then after she died, to the beneficiaries. Well, unfortunately, like we already talked about, the assets in the estate weren't easy to use to pay estate taxes, but it also opened up a can of worms relating to Elizabeth herself. Elizabeth claimed that the income via the trust was not enough, so she ended up filing for what is called a spousal election. That basically means that she is the spouse. She's allowed to seek 30% of the estate, according to Florida law. It is difficult, if not possible, impossible, to disinherit a spouse without a prenup. So Elizabeth really did have a leg to stand on this. So, you know, between this plus the whole estate tax dilemma, that is what left Tim, Janet, and Dan as trustees with the awful decision as to whether to sell the team and the stadium. You know, Joe Robbie's case is an example of, oh gosh, something that just really did not go well. What did I say earlier, right? I said something like family fighting, drama with the estate taxes, hurt feelings, broken relationships, legal fees, etc., etc. It's a bummer that so often in my estate world, these things happen. And sometimes they're avoidable, sometimes they're not. And sure, here, Joe could have done some more planning to ensure that his estate would have had enough liquid assets to deal with estate taxes. But I'm not sure, you know, more planning would have solved issues relating to the family fighting. Maybe they would have, maybe they wouldn't have. I don't know. We'll never know, of course. All we know is a lot went wrong with his estate, which left Joe's baby, the Dolphins, in the stadium, they had to get them sold. And for pennies on the dollar for what it is, you know, what it was worth years later and even today. Alrighty, we are ready to wrap this episode up. Next week, we are back to a cautionary tale type of episode where we talk about real life clients, real life cases that I or my office have worked on, or they're just generally good things to know and be aware of so you don't slip up and turn into a cautionary tale one day. Always good stuff. So next week, we are going to talk about a real life client where there was a sibling that agreed to serve as the executor for her brother's estate. Well, it turns out her brother left her with quite a big mess to clean up. It was a lot of debt, it was a lot of creditors. She was left to navigate some really murky waters. So we'll talk about that next week and what happened in that case. Until then, take care and be well.